If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, our next conversation is definitely one that takes a look at the opportunities for employment that exist. And I think builds up very nicely, perhaps in a Y funnel, looking at the board level conversation we just came from with Mr. Mokhojane, now talking about employers in South Africa and the roles that they are looking to fill within their businesses. So where is the opportunity for all of us to actually seek employment, seek jobs, and maybe even further growth within the places where we might be employed? Bear in mind, we're well aware that the unemployment rate in South Africa remains significantly high and is a challenge, but there are also some spaces that do provide a lot of growth. To tell us more is Paul Byrne. He's the head of insight and customer success at PNET. Paul, such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, too.
Thank you. I must tell you, this particular news and article comes as a breath of fresh air, Paul, because in South Africa, we've often been bogged down and frustrated by the negativity around the high levels of youth unemployment. We accept that it's our reality, but I do think this does offer us an opportunity to look into where there might be green shoots for employment. So help us understand firstly how the Job Market Trends Report is actually collated.
Well, what we do is we operate a platform here in South Africa called PNET, and that is a marketplace for job seekers and recruiters to be matched to one another. And we've got in the region of about 6 million registered job seeker users, and probably in the region of about 25,000 jobs that are being advertised every single month by recruiters looking to find the right skills to suit their companies. And it's within that data that we start the analysis of understanding what the trends are. It's that we can see across different job sectors, across calendar years, or whatever other information we might be looking to get to. And this particular report, our February report, is looking at the trending job sectors and some of the trending jobs. And you're right, it does paint a positive picture, which is really great. You know, specifically, we were looking at the top three trending job sectors: building and construction, architecture and engineering, and manufacturing and assembly are sectors that stand out. And just to sort of break that down into numbers, building and construction was up 14% year-on-year in hiring activity. And that's despite having a sort of lower hiring activity in the first 2 months of this year. So I think overall, a very, very positive message. Mm-hmm. And even then, within architecture and engineering, again, 14% increase, a slight decrease over the last 3 months, but generally quite stable across the whole year. Mm-hmm. And manufacturing and assembly was up 13% and pretty much stable across the whole of last year as well. So really positive, as you say, to see numbers that are that have a plus number in front of them.
Got you. And I'm assuming that this is also related to where we are in terms of the economic cycle, right? Because the sectorial breakdown that you've shared with us does tend to correlate with the GDP print or economic activity data that we see from Stats SA. So if a sector is thriving, then there's more opportunities for jobs.
Very much so. Very much so. Now, we haven't correlated directly back to Stats SA, but you're right that there's that line of connection. And it is important to actually see it and actually get that positivity coming out of it. And even if we sort of get into the deeper detail, you know, can go into a little bit more detail and saying types of jobs that have been trending over the first bit of this year, and specifically looking at February, you know, we can see that there's been a growth in demand for jobs within payroll and wages.
I'm surprised by that, firstly, I must tell you, that there's a demand for jobs in payroll and wages. This is huge.
Yes. It is good news, yes, because it does show that there is some there's growth happening in organisations that are needing to formalise that, and I think that is important. If we look at overall markets, there has been a slight softening, which really in terms of hiring activity, we would expect that to happen at this time of the year. We'd be coming up into the elections, payroll and wages. I think you're right. It's a very, very positive indicator. Mm. And other ones that we are actually seeing that have come up on the radar during February too are personal assistance, clients and customer support type roles, nursing, professional caregiving roles, and the all-important sales consulting roles, and which I think are prevalent.
Paul, this is so intriguing, Paul, because again, these speak to sectors that maybe we don't typically think of when it comes to wanting jobs. But as you mentioned, payroll and wages in the finance sector, the most in demand, personal assistance, client and customer care, nursing. I think this is quite interesting, because when we typically speak to representatives of the private hospital groups, they've been bemoaning the fact that we actually don't have enough nurses in the workforce. And some nurses even bemoan the fact that they don't find it easy to find employment. So again, maybe you can just contextualize where these opportunities are coming about, and you know, the sectors that might be providing room for growth.
Good. Within nursing specifically, there's an ongoing demand, and I have definitely heard the private sector in particular bemoaning the fact that they're just not enough nurses, and likewise, as you say, the nurses saying they're not finding the right opportunities. There's a disconnect that's happening somewhere in there. What we're seeing is what the private sector is putting back online in terms of those vacancies that they've got, to say, we've got the jobs, now come to us, we're open for employment. We need that support. We need you to actually come and work for us. It is now just making sure that they are filling themselves as the right type of employer to encourage that nurse to come back into a workplace and actually make sure that they're delivering, the employer's delivering on their promise in terms of what it is that they can offer. But what we're also seeing is that there's a different type of nursing role that's starting to emerge, and that's some of your telenursing in terms of medical health, where people are able to phone in and get medical help, medical advice. And I do believe that that's also going to start spiking considerably in terms of the demand for nurses. And that is going to put a pressure on our hospital sector if more and more nurses are going into that type of private practice as well, because I feel we need to be addressing just how many nurses are getting qualified every single year. And I don't think there's enough at the moment to actually fill the numbers that of demand that we've actually got.
This is so important, Paul, because, you know, some of these sectors that you're talking about are typically frowned upon when it comes to young people, or even those who might be in the middle of their careers and think, oh, hold on, payroll and wages. Because the truth is, you're sitting in front of a computer most of the day. You're working on accounting software and systems. It's not the fun, sexy, Instagrammable job or social media influencer job that we typically see our much younger generation in South Africa seemingly being attracted to. And that also speaks to sales consulting. I know sometimes we don't want to answer their calls, but it does seem as though there's a vibrant opportunity for jobs here too.
They certainly are, and I think they're actually at equal, they're at opposite sides of the equation in terms of actually thinking about the personality that you need to employ. Mm-hmm. You know, your payroll and wages person is going to be very admin orientated and would want to be sitting behind a PC, and I think adding a huge amount of value, if you think about the importance of the purpose of what it is that they're doing, we rely on those people to make sure that they pay us every single month and pay us correctly. Mm-hmm. So I think it's an incredibly sort of underrated role that has significant importance within an organization, because just think of the damage that can be done to an employer's reputation if those payroll runs do not run on time or accurately. So very, very important role, and I agree with what you're saying about the surprise in terms of seeing that come up now. But the sales consultants on the other side, you know, we've got to remember that this is what drives every single company. Yes. We need people out there selling our products, our services, whatever it is that we're building, creating, designing, or whatever the case may be. So going into the future and the future world of work that we know and have heard through a number of different interviews, just how rapidly our world of work is changing, the one consistent that I see is that salespeople will always be in demand, because we need to actually understand that human connection and around about what it is that we can do as salespeople, yes, to correct an issue that a company might be facing, a person might be facing, whatever the case may be. So those roles are secure well into the future. And I think, you know, if you look at your top salespeople, they're also top earners in an organization, and they can basically, you know, depending on obviously the rules of whom they work for, they can write their own paychecks, they can manage their own time, as long as they're delivering on the results of getting the right sales numbers onto their books every single month.
Mm. And this is so, it's so intriguing, because you're reminding us as well that these jobs really are critical. As you say, you know, no one wants to work and not receive their payment. Hence, payroll and wages will be important. Executives Absolutely. Get super busy, and that's why we do need administrative officers and personal assistants within these particular spaces. Paul, what I'm keen to understand is that if these sectors are essentially saying these are the jobs we have available, we want to employ people, are we finding that and I'm not sure if this falls under your realm, that there's the ecosystem and the environment is responding, that there's a heightened level of applications they receive. But more than that, that even the educational institutions are training people adequately within these spaces.
There's a lot of work that's been happening that does happen within the educational environment, and we in actual fact provide data on an ongoing basis to some institutions just to help them understand where the demand of skills is. Because what we have been doing for a number of decades now is tracking exactly this. What is that supply and that demand? So we like to believe, we don't necessarily see the results, but we like to believe that there's work that they are interpreting in terms of the future fields of study that they need to be developing and making sure that they've got available to the students that are coming through their doors. I suppose the big question at this stage is just how rapidly everything is changing. And if we go back to the last 4 years and look at the changes that we've had within our world of work, they've been significant. We've seen an acceleration of the demand of IT roles. Just to think about how do we handle the lockdown and sort of coming back to work and remote work. It's just really accelerated that need for your IT specialists, your data analysts, your network people that actually drive the digitalized side of the businesses. And what we're seeing is that there is, again, that growing demand in terms of those type of roles. And interesting, listening to the conversation that you've just had with Mr. Mahajani in terms of academia versus the skills that he was talking about people needing to create, there's a lot of work that we can see more that we've done in terms of analyzing what's happening in the marketplace around just how important skill attainment is becoming in certain sectors. And specifically, we've done some work recently within the IT sector just to say skills are what companies are looking for more than formal qualifications.
And specifically
within this IT sector, because people can literally come in and hit the ground running. Yeah, they've got the skill. They know what it is that they need to do. They can be measured on outcomes-based type work to say, we need you to develop this or configure that or do this particular data analysis. And if people come into the marketplace with the right skill,
That is
helps
so important, Paul. And I think it's a line that you probably need to reiterate, because we do find that we do live in a community in South Africa where, again, we have a heightened level of unemployed graduates who have wonderful qualifications but don't have the skills, don't have the capabilities, or even are open to learning these particular skills that organizations do need. And I'm assuming that's for right. Anyone who might be a parent or know of someone who's in the job market or a young student, are there easy goals that we need to prioritize? And as you've mentioned, skills is one of them, but are there tools, resources, and methods that we can also implore to actively to participate in?
Yeah, if we focus specifically on the IT sector again, absolutely, yes, they are. The basic requirement, and I know sometimes it's not that easy to get access to this, but a computer with access to the internet can enable someone who has got the right determination to start finding the right type of courses online for free that are going to help them understand the basics of, let's say, for coding. And as they then build up a portfolio of what it is that they've been able to develop, that's the kind of information they can say to a potential employer down the line and say, this is what I can do. Here's the evidence of what in actual fact I've achieved previously. Now, please, can I apply those skills in your organization? And I do believe we're going to start seeing a lot more of that happening, because this is a sector in particular, and again, IT sector, that is changing so rapidly. And our developers, our data analysts are needing to undergo continuous learning in terms of being able to stay up with the trends of what the market demands. And I can't reiterate the importance of that enough, in actual fact. Ongoing learning is critical. Yeah. And I suppose that goes across any one of the sectors that we would be talking to. Whether it's finance, whether it's marketing, and the changes that we're seeing within marketing, you talk about your digital influencers, whatever the case may be, that's a completely new learning set in terms of what a person who's been in the workplace would have been experienced to. Had experience of just 10 years ago. People need to be reskilling themselves continually, and we're going to see that this acceleration to this new world of work that I keep talking about is just going to continue to grow. And in actual fact, part of the report that we've done this one that we're talking about things like remote work opportunities, and it's really interesting to see just how the trends of remote working have changed over the last 4 years. And I take that back to the end of March 2020, so the beginning of lockdown. beginning of lockdown, we saw that in general about 1.2% of our jobs were offered as remote working opportunities or work from home opportunities.
Wow.
At the height of lockdown or sort of COVID work from home, and so let's call it the first quarter of 2022, so 2 years later, that percentage had jumped to 5.4% of all jobs that were being offered at that time. Now, it's been interesting to see that the demand has dropped. We're sitting at 3.9% at the moment, given the, you know, the end of this first quarter now, 2024. But still, there is that remote work opportunity that is happening out in the market, and that's creating, again, a different world of work for those kind of people that are looking for those opportunities.
Yeah.
And in some cases, you know, if you're looking at the highest, the types of jobs, you know, information technology, we're sitting at roughly 11% of all jobs in IT are either hybrid or work-from-home opportunities. And even business and management, funny enough, has got a higher percentage than I would have thought, albeit only 3%, but it's 3% of jobs within business and management are remote jobs. So, again, it speaks to what I was talking about earlier, about how people have changed, the workforce has changed. We're really sort of focusing more on the outcomes nature, what can I deliver? And that enables these opportunities for people to work from home.
Definitely. Paul, this has been such a phenomenal conversation we've had with you, and really practical for many South Africans who find themselves on the periphery of employment at the moment. One of the lines that you mentioned that stands out for me is that businesses value skills more than qualifications. So it you can have the qualification, but continue to develop and enhance your skill. Constant learning is certainly something that we need to invest in. But thank you again for your time this evening.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Paul Byrne, who's the head of insights and customer success at PNet, talking us through the latest job market trends report. The top five jobs that employers are looking to fill. Number one, payroll and wages, personal assistance, clients and customer support, nursing and professional caregiving, including sales consulting. Makes you rethink it, right? So if you are someone who is looking in the job market, these are definitely sectors that will happily open up opportunities and provide some growth. It's what you do once you're in that will certainly propel you further.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.